This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. And ahead, the sad reality politicians are forced to accept ahead of the highly anticipated 2018 midterm elections: buy ads on Facebook or risk losing. Campaign spending on Facebook isn't just up since last midterm elections. It's completely and utterly exploding. More on that after these tech headlines. So just FYI, your smartphone's location data, worth very big money to Wall Street. Traders looking for data to get ahead of stock moves are seeking companies like Thazo's Group, which gets data from about 1,000 smartphone apps, many of which need to know a smartphone's location to be effective. Such suppliers might do all kinds of things, such as examine mine slag heaps from outer space, analyze credit card spending data, or sort through construction permits. This information, known as alternative data, and its utility to investors is the subject of current debate. Critiques range from the argument that samples can't be riddled with biases and errors to the idea that most data is fairly useless for predicting stock prices. Thazo's won't name its clients, but the journal says it sells data to dozens of hedge funds, some of which pay more than $1 million a year. Scientists have found evidence that cell phone radiation causes cancer in rats, but it is still unclear what the final conclusion means for humans. The two-decade study by scientists at the National Toxicology Program focused on radio frequency radiation akin to what's used in 2G and 3G cell phones. Male rats exposed to high levels of cell phone radiation developed cancerous heart tumors. They also said there was some evidence of brain and adrenal gland tumors in the male rats that were exposed to cell phone radiation. Samsung is seeking a virtual assistant, developers for one at least. The company is planning to fully open its virtual assistant called Bixby to third-party developers for the first time. The journal notes how it is looking for help in bolstering its challenge to the industry's big three players. That's Amazon's Alexa, Apple's Siri, and Alphabet's Google Assistant. Bixby, which made its debut last year in Samsung's Galaxy S8 phone, is used by 6% of Americans. That trails Amazon at 24%, Apple at 22%, Google at 20%, and Microsoft at 10%. And if you're keeping score, nearly half of Americans don't use any virtual assistant. Coming up, ahead of a highly anticipated midterm election and sharp criticism by members of Congress aside, a look at how most politicians are spending loads of campaign funds on Facebook to target voters. Last April, in a hearing in Washington, no less than 55 U.S. representatives questioned CEO Mark Zuckerberg about privacy concerns and leaked user data via Facebook. Fast forward to the U.S. midterm elections, about two-thirds of those same representatives are spending quite a bit of campaign dollars advertising on Facebook. It appears that politicians' enthusiasm for targeting potential voters may just be beating out the concern for personal privacy as of late, or at least until the election is over. Here with more, patching in from Baltimore, is The Wall Street Journal's Christopher Mims. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So we talk about all the scrutiny Facebook is under all the time, but its scope of power is very much still intact, and that's very much exemplified by your latest on Facebook's ads ahead of the big election. You know, for all the finger wagging politicians have been doing at Facebook, and, you know, some would argue rightfully so, when push comes to shove, politicians are still spending quite a bit of money on political ads, and it's because they have no choice.
Yeah, so $300 million on Facebook alone, that's globally, but overwhelmingly that's going to be U.S. You know, all of that money since May, so that's 6 months, it's this midterm. Digital ad spend overall is 22% of all political ad spend this season, so $1.9 billion. To me, what it illustrates, especially when you compare these numbers with the last midterm election when, you know, digital ad spend was 5% of what it is now, Facebook still has a lot of room to run in terms of capturing more ad dollars and specifically more political advertising. And I think it's especially potent with political advertising because that is where micro-targeting is really, really valuable. So what one marketer told me was, you know, if I want women in West Virginia who have voted Democrat before, who are 55 and older, you know, that's no problem. I can target my ad that narrowly. So you can see why that would be so valuable in politics, especially in close races, and also nationally when you're trying to get donations rather than vote.
Right. It was really interesting to learn more about this tracking because I don't think everyone is necessarily as familiar with just how they're being tracked, and you started to get into it, but tracking technology is certainly at play. I wonder if you could speak more about how it's being used and the scope of that.
Yeah, I think the thing that is really hard for people to understand, because it's completely opaque and we just don't have transparency laws around it, is every day there is more data being compiled about you. And this isn't just about Facebook. So Facebook's real talent is that they have your attention and they have all this AI, which can keep you there and target the most effective ads. You know, most of what these marketers are using to target you is data that comes from outside of Facebook. So Facebook is really good at helping them to integrate that data with their own database of human beings. So, you know, they are looking at voter rolls. They're looking at, your membership. Are you in the NRA? And, you know, some of this data, of course, is extrapolated as well. I mean, whether or not you own a gun or vote Democrat or vote Republican, these things are all highly predictable about you based on just a handful of demographic data. And so then once that data is extrapolated, it gets shoved into Facebook's advertising system, and politicians and super PACs can really narrowcast their message. And also, I think this is a sort of frightening long-term trend. They can really tailor their message. And I don't know that we're necessarily at the point where a politician is advertising with one message to one constituent and an opposite message to another. But Facebook has technology that allows you to test different types of creative and see which performs the best. And I think that we're getting to this point where advertising and polling are fusing, and politicians are clearly testing messages on social media. And then they see what plays there. And then that's what they take national in other mediums like television.
Yeah, it's such different times, right? Because and Facebook is such a unique medium for that reason, because the feedback is instant, first of all. Something else of note in your latest on this is the argument that Facebook has become another front in a bigger global cyber conflict, and that it's this marketplace, but also a battle space. And that makes a lot of sense.
I think that what we're seeing on social media is that, you know, it has opened up as a new front in cyber war, and that is not unrelated to its utility in politics. So it is the battlefield of ideas, and politicians have to be there. They don't have a choice, because otherwise bots, influence operations, and their opponents are going to occupy that space for them.
Again, there's a lot more to get into via Christopher's latest at WSJ.com/tech. Christopher, thank you so much. And listeners, make sure you catch him on WSJ's new tech podcast, Instant Message. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
And that is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.